Allied Media Conference in Detroit earlier this summer in July. We spoke about that a few shows ago. So get ready for that. And let's see, one other shout out to Emery Mort, our guest on the last Roots Runners Rhizomes, will be on the radio tomorrow speaking with Phil Grant, and he'll be speaking about a project that he's doing, the Emerging Leaders Laboratory over in Chatham. So listen for that about 10 a.m. tomorrow, I believe. So we'll be talking with Autumn in just a few minutes. But first, I just wanted to make mention that, as you may already know, WGXC is currently doing a sustaining membership drive. So I just wanted to say a few words about that. It's a really great way to support WGXC. And if you can, you know, you can give as little as $5 a month. I know no one likes to be listening to pleas for money all the time, but on the other hand, you don't hear commercials on WGXC, so it doesn't happen very often, right? So anyway, if you're interested in becoming a sustaining member, we would all super appreciate it. You can go online to wgxc.org/donate, or you can call the station at 518-697-7400. Either one of those ways. And I think, is Autumn is not on the line yet. Okay, well, we're going to be, sorry about that. So we'll be talking to Autumn and Lauren about the Healing Justice Practice Space at the Allied Media Conference. You may remember this conference has been going on for a while. It's really expanding the notion, it's Allied Media Conference, but what is media? The idea that even healing practices can be media. And Lauren Gemroni, our co-host, who's been away the past couple of shows, she's been a very busy person. She was a practitioner, a tandem practitioner, with Emmett Phipps. Emmett Phipps is a nurse and a student of naturopathy. Lauren, of course, is a herbalist, and they practiced in tandem together. So we'll be hearing about Lauren's experience as a practitioner, and then we'll also be hearing from Lauren and Autumn in one little moment. Are you there? Hello? Autumn?
Hello, this is Autumn.
Hey, Autumn, it's Sarah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to hear your voice. And let's just see if we have Lauren on the...
Hello?
Hey. Everyone can hear each other?
We can hear each other, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks
awesome.
So much for joining us today, Autumn.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
So, you guys, how was the Allied Media Conference? And for our folks listening, when exactly did that take place? In Detroit. Recently in July. Do you remember? Okay, maybe
Absolutely.
It's not important. What did you guys both do?
The LA Media Conference, it takes place every year in Detroit. Actually, this year was, I think, the 12th or 13th annual version of the event. And it started June 29th and went through July 1st.
So, Autumn, I don't think you could hear me. I was kind of blabbering on a little bit about what I knew that Lauren, some of the things Lauren was doing as a tandem practitioner with Emmett Phipps. Autumn, can you tell us a little bit about your participation this year? You've participated numerous years as well.
Mm-hmm.
How was this year, and what did you do?
Sure. Well, this year was fantastic. Every year that I've been to the conference, I have been absolutely inspired and impressed. And just in such a deep learning process from all of the different networks that come and have gatherings and have learning processes there. It's really probably the most truly diverse and accessible national gatherings that I know of. And, you know, it's one of those places where you were in the gathering over the course of the weekend and you are looking around thinking, this is the world that I want to live in. Like, this is the world I'm trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
And every year it feels more like that, if you can imagine. There's always forward movement. There's always new developments in terms of how the conference itself is run that make it more decentralized, more deeply in touch with the community of Detroit that's hosting it, more accountable to that community and more accountable to the national network of organizers who are making it happen. So that is just a wonderful part about being there. This year, I should give some background that last year, the role that I held at the Allied Media Conference was that I organized one of the tracks, and the track that I organized was called Health is Dignity, Dignity is Resistance, and I worked with two really amazing co-organizers to pull together a series of workshops that were all related to health and healing justice and activism and media-based organizing that's happening around health and healing justice all over the country. And we also, for the first year, last year, organized a healing justice practice space, which was which is exactly what Lauren was participating in this year. It's a space where we bring together healers and health practitioners from all over the country. They come and they actually practice on conference participants throughout the weekend. So that was the first time we had done it last year. This year we had an even bigger, more deeply organized space. We had we worked on organizing the space for a 6-month period. There were 4 of us who were coordinating the space, and we brought in almost 40 different volunteers, most of whom were volunteer healers. Mm-hmm. And we had a whole group of people who were volunteering as what we called space keepers, and they were doing registration, logistics, handling the safety of the space. And it was incredible. We saw over 250, I think almost 300 participants over the weekend.
Wow.
Received healing over the weekend. We had workshops. We had individual sessions with massage therapists and acupuncturists and energy healers. And Lauren actually did something that was brand new, where she, and maybe Lauren, you already talked about this, so interrupt
no,
me.
No, not yet.
Repeating. But Lauren and another practitioner, a registered nurse, applied to work together to see people at the same time. So they sort of did this integrative care practice, herbalism, and a nurse practitioner who had experience working with chronic illnesses. And so Lauren can talk more about that, but that was the first time we had ever seen anything like that happen at a conference. So it was just really incredible, really inspiring.
Awesome. Autumn, I'm wondering if we could back up a little and first for some of our listeners for whom this term might be the first time they're hearing it, but also we want to hear what it means to you. Can you self-define what is healing justice to you and
Absolutely.
How you understand it?
Absolutely. And I should say, healing justice is, there are a lot of different ways all over the country that people use the term healing justice, so I want to just preface what I'm about to say as this is how we're defining it within the, within the progressive left social justice movement of folks who do health and healing work. And the way, what we define as healing justice is work within communities that acknowledges that in order to achieve true and lasting social change, in order to be able to work for transformative social justice, we need to acknowledge all of the ways in which our histories of oppression and our current experiences of social oppression are traumatic, and trying to think of the sort of most accessible way to say this.
Like an imprint, maybe?
They leave imprints, exactly. Thank you, Lauren. They leave imprints on our bodies, on our minds, and on our communities of those traumas. And so in order to have true social, lasting social change, we need to address the need for healing in our communities and in our bodies and in ourselves. And that as our movement continues to grow, and as our movement continues to become more and more accountable to the communities that we are trying to serve, the communities that we're from, the communities we're trying to change, we need to be able to address the need for healing. That is the most essential aspect of what healing justice is all about. Then there's the additional piece that's about those of us who are working within the field of healthcare, thinking about how to make healthcare itself, healing itself, more accessible, more accountable to the communities who are needing healing or accessing healing or receiving it. And there have been some just incredible projects that have been launched, especially in the last decade, all around the country, that are really changing the way people are accessing healthcare, and changing it to be more in line with the values of justice and transformative change, the more aligned with the values of accessibility and accountability, community accountability, and more reflective of an ethic of racial and economic justice in particular.
Mm. About a couple projects, maybe just off the top of your head? Our listeners are going to understand that you're not endorsing these as your favorites or anything, but just some that might come to mind to illustrate some of what you're talking about would be awesome.
Sure. I think, one that comes to mind, there are two that immediately come to mind, both of which I learned more deeply about last year. One is called Casa de Salud, which is based in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it's a sliding scale clinic that is specifically oriented towards serving undocumented immigrant populations. And part of the way the clinic works is that there's a sort of flat fee or a bottom line fee that all people pay in order to access services. But that fee is inclusive of any care that you receive when you walk into the clinic. And so that's anything from a gynecological exam to blood work to a physical exam to acupuncture or massage, because they do have alternative therapies housed within the clinic as well. And I think what makes it a really interesting model, there are two things to me that make it a really interesting model. One is that they do not collect information about their patients beyond a name and a zip code and a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really protective of people's privacy and confidentiality. They also don't have a front desk. So you walk into the waiting room, and it's literally just, you walk in and there are chairs. There's a person sitting next to a computer that where they can log you in. There's no table between you and the person who is, registering you to come in. It's a very welcoming atmosphere, and it sort of breaks down those essential barriers that exist that make people, usually when you walk into a clinic, you're immediately sort of, without even realizing it, usually most of us, we're immediately put on the defensive because mm-hmm. we have to be reaching across the table. We're talking to someone who's looking at a screen that we can't see. We don't know what information they're accessing about us. We don't know how they're using that information. They don't necessarily even know anything about us or our families or what our health needs are. I think Casa de Salud does a really good job of recognizing that so much of the bureaucracy that clinics put in place to make people feel safe, more safe and more secure, actually do the opposite for a mm-hmm. lot of populations.
Right. And right. Isn't it true that last year, I think I remember Anjali, who's a doctor there, was saying that, like, when you walk into the clinic, when you walk into CASA, the first person that you're likely to meet is going to be the health practitioner that's working with you. So that's, like, mm-hmm. really amazing. Mm-hmm. You're, like, greeted by the person that you're going to see, and then that health practitioner, it's, like, built into the schedule. I mean, I don't know how smoothly this necessarily works, but, like, it's built into their schedule that they then, like, start and end when they're supposed to, so that, you're not, like, waiting for half an hour or 45 minutes to, like, see who you're about to see, and you're sitting there nervous and fidgeting in the waiting room that feels really uncomfortable and might not be clean or might be, like, you know what I mean? So it's, like,
exactly
erasing exactly. all of that.
Exactly.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I think, and I just think it's such a beautiful model, and I think that, I think it's also such a learning experience for those of us who are interested in promoting other forms of accessible care in our own communities, because it really, I think that in our culture we're still encouraged to standardize care, and as though having standardized care improves safety or improves accessibility, and that's just not true, because when we say standard, we're not actually thinking about who's setting the standard and according to what culture are these standards being created.
Right.
And so Cognitive Allude really turns that on its head and says, actually, we need to work within the culture that we're serving and recognize what their needs are. Another really great model that I learned about was the Grigri Lab in New Orleans, which is a living and learning healing space. So it's this woman who lives with her family in this work and work-life space where there's people come in and practice healing, people come in for workshops. She teaches, like, cooking and food-based workshops, as well as offers healthcare or healing-related workshops. So she has people coming in from the community, coming into her home and accessing healing and accessing learning within the space that she lives. And I think that that's another really interesting model for sort of reawakening the role, the cultural and traditional role of healing within our communities as being something that's held by people that we're in community with, not by strangers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Beautiful. So, Lauren, do you want to tell us a little bit about your recent experience? This was not your first time at the Allied Media Conference either, but this what was new for you was that you were a practitioner in tandem with Emmett Phipps. Mm-hmm. So lots of new stuff for you. You want to talk a little bit about your experience?
Sure. Shout out to Emmett Phipps, who I love and adore, who unfortunately couldn't be with us here today. But I really liked, this is the second year that I've been to the Allied Media Conference and participated in the Healing Justice Practice Space, which I'm super grateful for. And Autumn, thank you, and Maurice and Triana and Adaku, the other coordinators, for making that happen. This year, the practice space was like right in the middle of the conference, whereas last year it was just like down a couple winding hallways, which was also fine, but I just think it was, like, so great. It was, like, right in the middle of everything. And there were just, like, lines, like, wrapped around the hallway to get in, which made me feel really excited because at one point in my experience doing political work or activist work, like, self-care and paying attention to your own physical and mental and emotional and spiritual needs was, like, not cool. There was too much work to get done. There was too much to change that taking care of yourself, like there was almost like no time for it. And if you did do that, or if you did go home early to get a good night's sleep or cook for yourself, it was almost like people looked at you like you weren't dedicated enough. And now we go to the Allied Media Conference with the Healing Justice Practice Space. Everyone's like, oh, I'm going to just go get well first, and then I'm going to go to all the other workshops. So I really love that. I mean, I really think that that, you know, says a lot. And so this year, Emma and I decided to apply to practice in the space together as a duo. We both have a lot of respect for each other in terms of our the work that we do. I have interned in an integrative clinic before, and that's really important to me as a learning clinical herbalist to not create a divide between conventional medicine, but to actually be able to understand it and work with other doctors and other nurses and other more, you know, conventional care practitioners along with the people that I'm working with. So Emmett also believes that and is studying to be a nurse practitioner and is also studying herbalism. So we were like, well, let's do this together and like give people who want to come see us like both worlds and like have both worlds be one world, you know, not just be like, well, this is what I know and this is what I know and you can choose which route. Mm-hmm. It was that we were able to both, we were really able to just like create this unique bond. And
how did that work for the patient or client? Mm-hmm. So did they come in and meet with you together at the same time for an intake?
Yeah, so Emma and I just like traded off who would bottom line the facilitation of the session. So Emmett went first, and a mother and her child came to see us, and Emmett just, you know, introduced us both to them and kind of set the tone and just welcomed us all together and kind of created a sense of warmth. And then, you know, we asked them why they were coming to visit us and what they wanted some support with. And then you know, and then Emmett and I would just kind of offer what we both knew, and Emmett and I had a lot of like eye contact going on, and a lot of, you know, if we would kind of nod to each other, like, no, you talk now, you talk now, and then I'd say, okay, I have something to offer too, is now a good time, Emmett, you know, and then Emmett would be like, yeah, great, what do you have to say? And so we kind of just piggybacked off each other, and we didn't do any like mock sessions. We talked a lot about it beforehand on the phone. Emmett and I don't live in the same area, so we talked a lot on the phone about how we wanted to pursue it or what we thought would be best, but then just like, you know, figured it out as we went along as well, and just like used our affection and respect for one another to like figure out the cues that we could give each other.
Within affection and respect in healthcare. Can we just repeat that concept?
Yeah.
8 million times? Awesome.
So it worked out really well, and I was worried about how people would feel about, you know, first of all, like the space itself, we had dividers between each practitioner, but it was essentially all open. Mm-hmm. So you had these like, you know, draped dividers, so you did have some privacy, but it was clear you were within a room of many other people getting work done at the same time. And so, you know, the space itself was pretty cozy. You know, just a little little tight, but just cozy. And so I was wondering, like, how people would feel being them one person and us two. So we tried to, like, triangulate our seats so that it was more that we sat in a, like, triangle together versus me and Emmett on one side and the person on the other side. And people, like, no one, it seemed to me from what I could, like, intuit with the people coming to visit us, it didn't seem like they were uncomfortable at all. It didn't seem like they were getting teamed up on. It seemed like people really, really liked that there were two people of differing modalities coming together to offer a broader approach. And then I felt psyched because I'm like, woohoo, the wacky, you know, the like herbalist gets like some validation by the nurse, you know, like that felt really good because sometimes I'm unclear about how, you know, different people within the community see herbalists. I mean, we're still trying to build more visibility for ourselves. But I felt good about that.
And were learning things just watching each other and working together on a new level? I know you guys were friends before the clinic, but I know from my own experience doing a collaborative clinic with someone, I find it so fascinating. You can know a person on so many levels, and then in the clinical setting, there's like this whole other layer and dynamic, and to be able to learn and teach as well.
Yeah, well, Emma and I became friends through this work. You know, they're part of the Rock Dove Collective, which we all are a part of. Sarah's a practitioner, and Autumn and I are collective members, and Emmett is a practitioner. So that's how our relationship first started, and then we really got to know each other at the Allied Media Conference last year. So this is kind of like how we're getting to know each other. And then I feel like this year at the conference, I mean, Emmett and I spent like literally every moment together, because we would be practicing with each other, and then we'd be like helping each other feed ourselves, or like, you know, they'd be tired or I'd be tired, and we would just kind of buddy up the whole time and just support one another, accessing what we all needed. And then we did a lot of debriefing about the people that we saw, and like how the style of our consultation went, the flow, what would be different. I mean, we just like, we were doing like impromptu consultations on the side, in the grass, on the lawn. Perfect. People got really excited and then wanted to talk about their livers for like 45 minutes. And, you know, so we really spent like the majority of the time together just, either working together and debriefing with each other. And I feel like it's really great to get to know each other on a friendship level through this work that we're doing together. It's like we have this instant bond, and now we just have to get to know all the details, you know?
Cool. And
I
was just wondering if I could add a little something about, just in the spirit of, you know, what we were talking about earlier in terms of building new models. You know, I've been watching someone who's really close to me this past year go through this experience of having a traumatic sickness that injured her brain, and dealing with having to go between all of her different practitioners, some of whom are her practitioners related to her heart, and some are related to her brain, and some are related to other things that she's got going on. And just the incredible difficulty of navigating the different ways that folks want to diagnose. And throughout the experience, I've been having the constant thought, wow, how much easier would it be if she could get all of her pictures in the same room?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just think that, you know, in that spirit of what are the models that we're creating for how we're giving people accessible and accountable and the kind of care that they actually need, creating a model where you have access to multiple practitioners at the same time and they're able to work together and put their brain power together in the moment that it's needed,
right,
I think is revolutionary.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and that's like another, you know, thank you to you guys who are the coordinators to allow, or not allow, but, you know, offer that opportunity to us, because where else do we do it but there? Well, I guess we can figure that out.
That was my question was, you know, I'm guessing you guys are going to attend the conference again next year. Do you have plans to do the duo consultations again, and do you have plans to do those in another format?
Yeah, we actually haven't talked about whether or not we're going to go to the conference again next year, but we have talked about wanting to do tandem consultations up here in Hudson. Maybe do like a once a month. Emmett lives in New York City and really likes it up here and likes to get out of the city and into the country a little bit. So we are trying to, we're going to start flirting with the idea of how we could work together up here. So be on the lookout, Hudson.
Hey. Yay. Yeah, and I myself have been doing those kinds of consultations for about a year and a half with an acupuncturist, and I'm a licensed massage therapist and herbalist, and you know, with Skype, you can certainly also bring in even more practitioners, and I think it's just a really exciting way to go. And the patients that we see also, they all comment on, you know, especially if, my goodness, you're struggling with fatigue or brain fog or something, where even just getting through your daily life is already stressed. How much harder is it than to have to go between your neurologist and your practitioner, blah, blah, blah. And there's people seem to be so grateful, and the practice seems to just be so expedient and synergistic, really, when everyone's just in the same room, or at least on the phone together at the same time, like we are right now with Autumn, who's not in this room, but is very, very present. And it's really, revolutionary and transformative to the 100th power, I think. How are we doing on time, Lorna?
We have about, I don't know, 50 seconds left or so.
I just wanted to also give the contact info for people who are interested. Again, it's www.alliedmedia.org is the website for the conference we've been talking about. Autumn, are there any other contact things you want to say, or ways people can get more information about anything?
Sure. Really quickly, I can add that as for this year's healing practice space, we actually launched a conference launched a website specifically for building community around healing justice around the country. And the website is justhealing.wordpress.com.
Great.
Justhealing.wordpress.com. And it's brand new. It's a place for folks to share resources, to build community. And we're working towards building a national gathering, hopefully sometime in the next 2 years.
Yay.
For folks who are doing healing justice work. Yeah.
Oh, Autumn, thank you so
much
for all you do.
Thanks,
it's
Autumn.
So amazing. We love you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for supporting our work and asking us back again and again. It's really awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, so we'll talk to you soon, Autumn. And again, that website is justhealing.wordpress.com. We'll put that on the archive or on the website. And
the Facebook page, yeah. And then I just want to give a shout out. Our next show is Monday, September 17th at 3 p.m. And I'm 99.9% certain we'll be speaking with Dr. Art Chandler about the O Positive Festival.
Oh, happening in Kingston.
Yeah, up in October it'll be. So you'll get a preview of that. Lauren, anything else you want to say today?
No, but just if you guys have any needs or desires or wants for future shows on Roots Runners Rhizomes, your Radical Health Radio show, you can email us at rootsrunnersrhizomes@gmail.com, and please don't hesitate.
Or post on our Facebook page.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Be well.
Take good care.